This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's the Carmen era right there. Oh, yeah. The music.
The Cartwright era.
That is the Carmen DeFalco Bulls era. That's what that is.
Bill just yelling at him. Bill would stop the sport to get their attention.
Scream. Pete, tell him. He said scream.
Do you remember the one that was
Hey!
Of course.
So that's mid-90s, right? That's
Rock and
90s.
Roll part two.
Exactly.
Right?
So every time I was on the field, that would come on. I'd be just sitting there listening. And I'd go, hey! There's always a timeout, you know?
Hey!
Yeah. You got to have fun with it.
You know? Cartwright, yeah.
That is somebody.
Ready. You got to have fun with it.
Tyson. Some place on NFL films, you're doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Somewhere, somehow.
By the way, thank you for the roadmap to Valpo yesterday. I made it so fast, yeah. I couldn't believe it.
So what you do is skirt the lake. When you skirt the lake, you're in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. Now, you got still about 8 miles on 49, but you're traveling the hypotenuse of the triangle. You're not coming down. You're not going over. Two legs, no good.
That'd be the fastest way.
The hypotenuse would be, yeah. Straightest distance between two points is an unobstructed straight line.
That's right. That's correct.
Unobstructed. You got to say
unobstructed.
That.
Unobstructed.
Without saying unobstructed, it's not necessarily true.
The hypotenuse.
I guess Cap thought that Valpo was in Indianapolis.
Yeah. No, I just always take 65 to 30. It's a longer way.
Too many lights, especially when you get over into Maryville by the mall, man. That's nonstop lights.
By John Chico's Menswear.
Yeah. No, I got to stop in there.
See
Tina.
Go see Tina.
Tina Pop.
Yeah. Absolutely.
She's I got to stop in there. I'm overdue.
Say hello.
I need a new suit, too.
Yeah, I'm overdue. I got to go see Tina.
Yeah.
It's not the same without Freddie.
No, without Freddie, it's
tough.
Without Freddie trying to measure my inner thigh.
Yeah, I miss
the inseam.
I miss it.
I never seen a man spend so much time between a man's legs.
No.
Freddie was a professional.
That's so true, though.
Gentle hands and his nails always well manicured.
Let me take another measurement there.
A moment of silence for Freddie Chico. Thank you very much.
I can't believe Freddie's gone. Too.
How old was he?
Freddie was late 60s.
Yeah, too young. Too young.
Died about a year ago, I think, give or take.
Way too young.
Yeah, he was a great friend of the radio station. I mean, Freddie Chico's commercials here were infamous.
Oh,
20 years.
Infamous. More than famous.
Yeah.
So, you know, Carmen, you remember my grandmother passed away. You remember, like, after she passed away, we had a remote together.
Yeah.
Way someplace, like 3 hours away from here, some snowy place that had a remote, right? So I had to stop into Chico's to get a suit, right? And so we're at it. He goes, well, we're going to measure, and we'll go to a bar, and we'll just talk about it.
That's exactly it.
Right.
That's what he'd do.
We go to a bar to talk about it. So there's a guy that's where Yurko's sitting, and I'm just sitting there sullen, just like, oh, I can't believe she's gone. I got to buy a suit for this. And the guy whispers to Chico, he goes, what's wrong? And Fred says, well, his grandmother died. And the guy says, what? And he says, oh, his grandmother died. Tries to mouth it, right? So I don't hear it. And I just turned to the guy, my grandma died. That's what happened.
You're sitting at the bar.
She's dead. That's what happened.
I can see you doing it.
I mean, he's trying to mouth it, trying to be, you know, respectful. Like, yeah, his grandma.
But that
did
was
you Freddy's go to the Tilted Kilt right across the
yes,
street?
Yes, that's
you
where he went.
That was Freddy's move. Like, he'd measure you up. They'd literally, they'd cut the suit to your specs upstairs. Right. He'd take you to lunch.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, and then they trim the suit. You come back and the suit's ready.
That's right.
That's where all the seamstresses, were upstairs. They were getting all the things done over
there. That's right.
That was his move.
Wow. That's right.
And I could so see you doing that. She died.
My grandma died.
Freddie's trying to be respectful. I was trying to tell the guy, like, you know, he's a little down. His grandma died. You know, what?
He's down.
His grandma died.
His grandma.
I can't hear. My grandma died. Gone. Take that. Carmen Yurko. What's up, fellas?
Crosstalk brought to you by Club Hawthorne, off-track betting bars from Hoffman Estates to Crestwood, Chicago to Aurora. Hawthorne has more than a dozen OTVs that put you close to the action every single day. And thank you, Danny, Jeff, JR, and Dan Weeder.
Still waiting for the field trip over to Hawthorne, and, you know, get a suite or a skybox or something.
Well, now the book, too,
watch
is open.
Well, yeah,
I got an idea. When the weather gets nice, why don't we put you and somebody on horses and have a charity
run? Not on horses. I mean, I've done it in the buggies with Timmy Tietrich and Dave McGee. I think we've all done it. Freddie was there one time, too.
I've done it.
Freddie knew the insiders, though, at the racetrack.
Freddie Huebner?
Tom Kelly. Yeah, Freddie Huebner. He was on a horse called, like, Prince of Thieves or the Princess Bride or the Princess Cafe.
Prince of Darkness.
I don't even know what the hell it was. I looked at this horse, and I'm with Dave McGee, and McGee's on there, and he looks over, and he asked the rider, he goes, is that horse? He looked at me, he goes, we got no shot.
Yeah, Freddie had the
ringer. Got no chance in hell. He goes, we're racing for second. And that ringer of a horse, man, the minute he went, and gave it a little rattle on the cage. That thing, like a bolt of lightning, took off. Meanwhile, I got a horse that's crapping itself as it's running, looking far left because he's got a strain. I'm like, Dave, what'd they give us? They gave us the worst nag in the joint. Because we're not going to win.
Did you finish second?
That's great. No, we finished like sixth. No.
So I was in that race with
Wendell Davis,
Glenn Kozlowski, and as Koz is 300 pounds, we catch him in a stretch, and we're going by him. You know how long the whip. Koz starts whipping me.
So,
and then I had a member of the Carey family insult me one time at Maywood, right? Because it was raining a little bit, and you're going to get mud on yourself when you're out there. So, guys, let's get a jacket. And then he's looking at the guys that are doing it. You know, okay, we can get you a jacket. Okay, you. Oh, Christ, where are we going to find you a jacket at?
I'm like, oh, I know.
What'd you just say?
Yeah, always the worst.
What'd you just say?
Where are we going to find you?
Where are you going to find me a jacket? I said, how about up your boom?
How about that?
Maybe we'll find something up there. We'll find your pride, wherever it might be.
Bend over and I'll show you.
I didn't even know you knew John Carey.
My heavens. It wasn't John Carey. It was,
That's the Tim Carey family.
Could be, yeah.
Tim Carey.
Do you not remember?
Either way, I was insulted.
You know what I think, Carm?
At Maywood.
I think that our shows together, I think they become a blur. I don't think you remember anything that we've
No, that's not yet. True.
I don't think, because
you gave him a specific thing at a specific
John Carey.
Time.
I don't remember John Carey.
A long way away on a snowy day.
Not about John Carey.
On a snowy day.
I remember.
You don't remember where it was at. Where was that at? If somebody described it that vividly,
the one I was thinking of was in St. Charles, but not that he wouldn't have, we wouldn't have been going to St. Charles if he had to go to John Chico's. There could have been another one we did in the NWI. Hoodie and I had to do one once out
about
in St. Charles.
Winds? Did you have to do one in Four Winds?
No. We got caught in a snowstorm going
Robert
to St. Charles.
Wouldn't have forgotten.
That's the one, I think.
And it was brutal. Yeah. I mean, like, it took us 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, like, smack dab
some
and
pizzeria
rush.
Place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, 2.5
South.
Hours.
The Grobber wouldn't have forgotten.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Grobber. I listen to Grobber a lot because I'd come back from some card games and, you know, back when we were working at the shop.
Sad.
On Cousin Bobo's cars, I'd be coming home late at night, and I'd turn to Grobber on. He would start a story, and he'd be going on a story, and then midstream he'd switch to another story.
Yes.
So that could happen, you know?
That's true.
But the memories of each individual story are good, but he convoluted them into one story, being about the same thing when they're actually about two different events.
That's true.
So that was Grobber at his best. When he's spinning four yarns and he's juggling, you're spinning a bunch of plates and trying to come back to just one point.
You know what?
That's when he was at his best.
You know what? That's Carm now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of is.
I got
a million.
I like that. You never had contact, though. You weren't really a CTE guy back in the day.
No.
I'd love to do a scan of your brain to see what that gray matter does look like.
We've all probably had a bunch from when we were kids.
I know I have. There's no gray area.
For sure.
I'm talking about you. I want to see where the holes are at.
I know I had one.
Swiss cheese looks solid, but it's holy. I want to see what
I know. I had one six, 7 years ago.
Hockey, right?
Playing hockey. I definitely got
one. Is that the one when you got cut?
No. That's just got cut. I mean, that hit my chin.
That's one he got the choppers knocked out.
Well, I remember him walking in here. I'm getting off the air. He comes in for crosstalk.
Big patch on my chin.
I remember. Yeah.
Blood under his chin that's dried. I'm like, what? I took a
patch
out of
fuck right in the face.
Tell him about the choppers when you had to go have emergency dental work.
I got some teeth knocked out once. Luckily,
Don't you play with a cage?
I do now.
He does now.
Took a while.
He thought he was freaking Doug Wilson.
I know.
Yeah.
So
no,
bad.
No cage. No helmet.
So bad.
I had the half visor, though.
Here's the draw.
Craig McTavish.
Here's the draw.
That helps your teeth, Carm. That helps the teeth.
So bad.
Old Basil McRae over here.
You know, I hated the... I hated the cage because I always found it hard to see through the cage. When they started making the clear ones, I finally said, I'm done with this. I have a clear one on. I don't even play with
all the way, though. Like a full face.
Full clear face shield, yeah.
I remember Tony Esposito said he would practice with no mask on, no helmet, because it was good for his reaction time.
Yeah,
Tony Esposito. Remember Gump Worsley would play the games with no helmet or mask.
Can you imagine playing in an NHL game with like McTavish and Wilson and Secord without a helmet?
The pucks used to stand
on
the ice.
Can you imagine?
Hey, the pucks used to
stand
on the ice.
Yeah, but not when Dougie Wilson was playing. Not when Secord was playing. Pucks weren't on the ice then.
They were flying.
That's insanity.
So as late as like 83, 84, Wilson did not have a helmet, as I remember.
91.
Yeah, I want to say 91.
Did he still not have a helmet in 90? Yeah.
And I think the last one ever that played without a helmet, because he was grandfather, it was Craig McTavish. Who ended up becoming the Wolves coach, remember?
Yeah, did he?
He was the Wolves coach.
McTavish was definitely the last.
With the permed hair.
Yeah.
Those guys
really? All the way through the 80s, Wilson
the 80s. No helmet.
Oh, my God.
Too. No helmet.
20. Number 20.
Seed Corn. Love that guy.
Like, could you imagine showing that to a young person today? Like, oh, yeah, they used to play in the NHL without a helmet on. There's Seed Corn. Blowing guys up with no helmet on.
That's amazing.
It's crazy.
Here's a draw. So I was at Carmichael's with Doug Wilson. What a great time we had. There's a shot and a save by Hextall.
Good old Carmichael.
Rebound.
Yeah, actually, the last person in the NHL to play without a helmet retired in 1997, Craig McTavish.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, right?
Jeez. There's no way
that.
Could you imagine?
No.
I couldn't. There's no safety at all.
None. I mean, you know, you lose an edge. You get caught up in the wash, and you go down funny. And you're—I mean, like a million things could happen. Not only a puck or a stick, but just a weird hit into the boards. And somebody on the podcast that
Spit and Chicklets.
I think on Spit and Chicklets.
Spit and Chicklets.
Someone told a story.
Ray Whitney.
Someone was. I think it was. It must have been Keith Jones was telling a story about Ally Afraid.
Mr. Jones.
Jonesy.
Mr. Jones and me.
Jonesy.
He was telling a funny story about Ally Afraidy and how, now he was wearing a helmet, but how he was embarrassed of the, like, how bald he was on the top of his head. He never wanted anybody to see it. He told the story about, like, getting, you know, he kind of got hit funny and he was sliding on the boards and then hit the stanchion on the side there, like, you know, from the bench to, like, the half board where there's no glass. He kind of was riding down the bench and then went crashing into the...
Like a skateboard.
Yeah, like a
riding
skateboard.
Riding down the thing and
the bucket goes flying off. And Jonesy said he's on the ice and he knows he's in trouble. He smacks his head up against this thing. The bucket goes flying. He crawls over, puts it on his head, and claps right on the ice.
Wow. Well, you saw that when he was doing that.
Can you imagine not wearing a helmet? No. Like, you get a weird hit like that, and your head crashes into that thing?
I mean, when he's doing the slap shot competition for the speed, wouldn't go out with the helmet, and then you saw his hair the way it looked.
And then you saw it. That's true.
Oh, my. It looked like Lou Henson.
Yeah.
Gene Cady combined. Lou Henson and Gene Cady combined.
I guess he was real self-conscious about it, maybe when he was young. And Jonesy said he was so embarrassed, he
scrambling.
Put it on so nobody would see him, and then he passed out right on the ice. It's
just an unbelievable
story.
Just enough gumption.
I went to visit Santa when he was having heart surgery at Northwestern. He doesn't have the toupee on. I come in the room. Ronnie! First move. Grabs the Cub hat from the table next to the bed and puts it on. I'm like, dude, so you don't have any hair. Who cares?
Yeah, nobody
cares. It's me.
No, it's okay.
Kid, I'm not going to let you see that.
Unbelievable.
Randy, give me Ally Afraidy. I Afraidy, Al.
I Afraidy, Al.
Al, can you get that for me?
Come on.
Thank you. He had the hardest shot in the history of the NHL, right?
He had a hard shot, for sure.
I think he was the guy.
By the way, Rob Johnson's still mad at me for the hockey on your block. What was that, from Bolingbrook?
From Bolingbrook, remember?
Yeah. The hockey on your block tournament.
He came on and did the play-by-play for
it. I did the PA. I was the PA guy. And, like, Carmen sets up, like, I believe, Robbie Beauchois beautifully for a goal. And it's just like, I get to the announcement, you know, the goal scored by Robbie Beauchois. Assisted by Carmen DeFalco and Tony Amonte at 12:33. Rob Johnson from Channel 2 comes up, slides over right to my PA. What about my assist, pal? Mad because I didn't. I can't do four or five assists.
I mean, come on. There's only
two assists. He's mad.
You get a primary and a secondary.
He skates over. Hey, where's my assist, pal? And skates away. I'm not going to read like eight names from the assist.
Remember Harvey Wittenberg? Blackhawk goal, his 11th of the season. Score by number 10, Tony Amonte. Assists. It was the best.
The best. Hockey on your block's a good organization, by the way.
Zdeno Chara, by the way, broke Ia Freddy's record.
That's right.
Chara, hardest shot ever registered at 108.8 at the 2012 All-Star game.
Big man Chara.
6'8", 6'9", right?
Yeah. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be rude, but get the hell out.
Time to go. That's not nice.
You know what?
We got Lonzo news. It's not good, boys. You know we'll talk what? About
it's
that.
It's not good for Lonzo.
You know what?
What are you? You upset? No, Johnny has had enough.
All right, we're out of here. Back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Have a great rest of your day.
It's unbelievable.
Wait, Carmen and Yurko are next.
Yeah. No, I've been kicked out of better places.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago.
Carmen and Yurko, welcome into the fun. We're going to talk to Field Yates at 11. We will preview all of the divisional action coming up this weekend. All four games, Yurko, we'll talk about with Field. We'll have McKnight at the movies about an hour and 10 minutes from now. That's every Thursday. You don't want to miss that. And Tracy Butler has weekend weather, and what should we expect weather-wise in these big football games? How cold is it going to be Saturday night in Green Bay for the Niners and the Packers? We'll talk about all that. We got a loaded show for everybody. We've got
and Carm, more importantly, you're going to have to ask Tracy Butler how much time she spent prepping for her big interview that she conducted.
She read the book twice.
It's like a chance to interview,
Noam
back,
Chomsky.
The chance they had with Barack Obama when he was going to pick the March Madness.
Andy Katz would do that,
Andy Katz would. I mean, that's the type of interview that she landed here.
It's that big.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interview and a half. Anytime you get a chance to sit down with Randy Merkin, oh, my heavens, are you kidding me? To go over the book, undertheglass.com?
We're going
to
take the opportunity.
Behind the glass.
Behind the glass.
Under the glass, behind the glass.
Yeah, I keep making that mistake.
Behind the glass, the book.com is the actual website.
We're going to take the opportunity to do what we do best. We might not be good at much. You might think we suck, but we bust balls better than anybody. And we will bust Merkin's balls today.
4 minutes of ball busting that's going to be going on.
Merkin, the occasional Merkin.
Merkin works harder selling this book than he does at his day job, for crying out
loud.
You're
going to need a cigarette after we get done busting his chops here, all right?
See, you're not going to want to miss that, as he was on Tracy Butler. What did Tracy does, like a weekly
that?
Interview? What is she doing?
What is she doing back there? No,
hold on. Is that a Zach Galifianakis thing, you know?
Between two ferns?
Yeah, between two ferns.
What is it? She got one of those between shows? Two weather reports.
Yeah.
What is Tracy doing?
It's a digital show they do from 7 to 8. And I had asked Tracy a while ago. I said, hey, during the holidays, if you need, something to fill, I'd love to come out and promote the book.
You need some time to kill.
I said, I get it. I'm not A-block, she reached out to me. And then her producer, Michelle, reached out to me. And I sent some pictures over.
Yeah.
And we did the interview. So it was great. I got to tell you something.
What's that?
The response I received from that 4.5 minutes... All day, people were texting. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Okay, here's the important. Not that they were texting you. Well, orders. How many orders have been resulted from this?
We did get some orders yesterday, and we actually did get some orders yesterday.
And come to find out, a lot of people got their hand out looking for the freebies. How many actual orders did we get?
Not for nothing, Yurko. I mean, Tracy promoted the book. It's more than the good kid's done, over the last...
Who's the guy that told the whole world about UnderTheGlass.com?
It's not the Jack Brickhouse story. Stop it. Behind the glass.
That book I would read.
Yeah, I'm going to read Jack Brickhouse's in a
you
second.
Telling me?
Under the glass... No, this is Behind the Glass, the book.com.
There we go.
We want Merkin to sell 1,000 books, and we're getting there.
We do.
So we need to continue to push it.
So that'll be happening today in the show. That'll be happening today in the show. Carmen, I know you were a busy man yesterday. You were at Delilah's, right? You were educating the world about whiskey and bourbon, right?
Yeah, we were talking about Widow Jane and sampling some of their great stuff at Delilah's, I haven't been in Delilah's in probably 8 years. It was great to be back.
I did miss it.
Yeah. It was great to see Mike Miller, the great proprietor of Delilah's, and Mary and everybody else that makes that establishment so unbelievably great. Wonderful. It is truly one of the most special bars the city has to offer. It's one of the great... They don't like to call it a whiskey bar. They call it a music bar that's got great whiskey. But... it's, you know, known across the country as a as a whiskey destination.
A destination. The
whiskey is truly a great place, and it was great to be back there. So I saw a lot of things kind of like I pieced together when I got home, saw some of the Bulls win.
Yesterday's Sporting World. What was the best thing you saw in yesterday's Sporting World? If you had to just go ahead and say this is the best thing I saw.
I saw, and I only saw this in bits and pieces, basically in highlights when I had gotten home, Joel Embiid scoring 50 points in 27 minutes.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean.
That is good.
It's the only game in the history of the NBA that a player ever scored 50 or more and had 10 or more rebounds in less than 30 minutes. That is the Joel Embiid did last night. And I get it, the Magic are terrible.
Yeah.
What Joel Embiid did last night
has
never been done in how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of NBA games have been played over the last 80
millions,
years.
Almost.
Or nearly.
That's impressive.
So that's the most impressive thing.
All right, Randy Merkin, the most impressive thing in sport you saw yesterday. What impressed you the most? Doesn't have to be the greatest thing in the world. Just what impressed you?
What impressed me?
If you don't have an answer, I can move on.
I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer.
The man next door, Jeff Meller.
Yurko, the most impressive thing I saw yesterday occurred in the afternoon.
Well, I think we're on the same. I think we could be on the same page.
Well, I got one now, by the way.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. What do you got?
The Joker's triple double, 49
That's
point
pretty impressive
too. The end of the game was ridiculous.
Yeah, they won that game.
He's in third or fourth for MVP now. He could do it again.
And the guy got a technical for coming off the bench because he thought the game was over.
Right.
Almost blew it for them.
Right.
Interesting. All right. That's also impressive.
For me, Yurko, what really struck my fancy was during the Premier League afternoon affair.
Oh. Which game?
Leicester City was hosting Tottenham Hotspur.
The Hotspur, Tottenham.
Leicester City at home, clutching this game up 2-1.
2-1 late, Carm.
We are in stoppage play, my friend. Late into stoppage play.
Leicester City had a 2-1 lead?
Leicester City had a 2-1 lead on Spurs. And sure enough, the 79th minute substitute, Steven Bergwijn, the Dutchman.
The Dutchman
comes flying off the bench. The flying Dutchman, if you will.
Channeling the best of Dennis Bergkamp.
Absolutely. And in the 95th minute, he scores an equalizer.
To make it 2-2, Carm.
Snatching a point from the jaws of defeat.
Why was this so special?
Well, I'm not there yet, Carm.
Okay.
Because in the 96th minute, maybe 97th, Steven Bergwijn comes back in stoppage time and gets Spurs the victory in an improbable 3-2 win over Leicester City yesterday.
In a soccer game that calls for 1-0 results and 1-1 results, you had non-stop action out of a desperate Tottenham Hotspur team that had to have a victory if it's going to compete for a European spot next year and finish in the top 6-7 in the Premier League. They absolutely needed to have a victory. On the road, Antonio Conte's men found a way with the substitution late to score two goals in the final 3 minutes of the game. And when I tell you that's exciting when you're watching soccer played wide open like that, that was the best thing that I saw yesterday. And I agree with Jeff Meller, who when I queried him the question, said, I think I know, and I think you and I are in the same spot. That, if you didn't get a chance to see it, on USA Channel 242, because they've switched, because
Direct
NBC
TV?
Sports
is
dead.
Thrilling football. It was good. You're right, Yurko.
Unbelievable. I know we're not going to give any more time to it today, but I just thought, the best of the best of the best of the day, that needed to be mentioned. And the world knows what a great soccer fan I am. Carm, you love Italians. And Meller's also a big soccer fan. That needed to be noted.
Wow.
On a day, like a normal just Wednesday in America, that this happened to be on. And if you caught it in the afternoon, you saw something special.
So to score two goals and stop it.
I believe it's the latest ever a team has come back from a deficit in the Premier League. Now, I don't know all of soccer. There's a lot of leagues out there. But I think it's the latest ever any team's ever come back in the Premier League, not just to get a draw, but then to come back and win.
Yeah.
Because it happened in the 95th and 97th.
And it was a glorious pass by Harry Kane on the final goal.
I just watched it.
It was a glorious pass.
Okay, good on Tottenham, I guess. I didn't realize.
The Hotspur.
You guys were very passionate about that.
Well, if you saw it, I mean, it's the beautiful game.
I just saw the go-ahead goal. It was nice.
It's the beautiful game.
No, it's a build, too, because the truth is, it was 2-1. Leicester has this game in hand.
They're at home,
too.
They're at home.
They're not expecting to give up the goal, much less two.
Yes.
And then the way the second goal occurs, sloppy play by Lester giving the ball away on the kickoff.
Two passes. Boom.
I mean, the ball by Harry Kane is just
Waiting. It's a great moment just to get the tie for Tottenham. And then you'd think, oh, the whistle's going to blow. This is going to be a 2-2 game. You but still thrilling nonetheless.
You know what it reminded me of? And I know our American soccer fans are going to love this and go back to this.
I know it. I know it.
It's Manchester United beating Bayern Munich in the Champions League final when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer put one in.
I don't think many American fans are going to remember
that. Whoa, they're soccer fans. They'll remember that. Champions League final. And
You
know who the most downtrodden individual was? Lothar Matthäus. Lothar Matthäus for Bayern Munich gutted like a deer.
Carm, that goal got Ole Gunny a couple extra months of managerial tenure at Man U. So.
You guys need a podcast. Oh, I'm serious.
Let's do it, Yerk.
You guys ready. You need a podcast.
I'm ready.
There is some...
Glorious!
There is some breaking Bulls news this morning that I don't think is going to come as a shock to a lot of people. If you heard Billy Donovan talk about some of the injuries last night before the game, we will discuss that. And we'll bust Merck's balls, of course, because he was on Tracy Butler's show, and we have a perfect opportunity to bust his balls. Boy. But we're going to sell some books
He needs a wardrobe coordinator, too. That's what we're going to say.
The latest on Lonzo Ball's gimpy knee coming up next.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Bulls snapped the slide last night. Boy, having Alex Crusoe back is big, isn't it? I mean, even though he was on a limit. You know, what he brings, what they can do defensively, what they do on the perimeter, his grittiness, his toughness. Everything. I mean, he's a pretty valuable piece to what they do defensively. So it was good to have him back for the first time in about a month. Io continues to impress. Io DeSumo, since stepping into the starting lineup 3 games ago, now I get it, it's 3 games. This guy's averaging 8. This is a second-round pick as a rookie. 18 points, 8 assists, 2 steals, nearly 6 rebounds in the minutes he's getting as a starter the last 3 games, and he's shooting 77%. Now, that's obscene and absurd. That's not going to continue.
You won't sustain that.
Oh, my God.
So what makes this team better is when Vooch gets involved and when Vooch starts hitting some three-pointers. Or Vooch goes ahead and drives the lane and puts the monstrous dunk in there. That's when Vooch is doing it. When Vooch is kind of disinterested third party and trying to get into the game, and maybe that's not the Vooch you'll see in the playoffs, but he looked pretty damn good yesterday.
Yeah. Bulls needed that.
He looked good.
Now, it was not all good news. They embark on a 3-game road trip starting Friday night. First game against Milwaukee. Yeah. They haven't played the Bucks yet, right?
Right.
This is going to be interesting. First game against Milwaukee, another national audience. They've been embarrassed 3 times in the last week.
They have.
On national TV games.
They have.
Can they avoid that against Giannis and the Bucks on Friday night?
They've been smacked around.
Now, when I say it wasn't all good news yesterday, it's because Billy Donovan said that Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball will not be accompanying the team on the trip. Now, the news on Zach LaVine is pretty good. The news on Lonzo and just listening to Billy Donovan last night doesn't make this all that unsurprising, I guess. Because Donovan was pretty forthright and said, yeah, the knee's not responding. We got to figure out what's going on here. Well, it was reported originally, I think Shams Charania from The Athletic and Stadium was the first this morning to report that there is a small meniscus tear in Lonzo's left knee. Mm. He is evaluating treatment options now. Adrian Wojnarowski followed up with a tweet. The Bulls and Lonzo Ball are expected to make a decision on undergoing arthroscopic surgery for a meniscus injury in his left knee in the next 24 to 48 hours, a procedure that would sideline him 4 to 6 weeks if it does happen, sources tell ESPN. So there's the latest. And, you know, Yerk, real quick here, can meniscus tears, small tear.
All right. The meniscus is the padding in between, you know, in your knee joint, between the femur, the tibia, and the fibula. So that's that disc-like cartilage that you have in there that provides the cushion for the impact that one would have on a basketball
meniscus part. Is not a tendon. It's not like the ACL. It's different,
cartilage.
Right?
It's cartilage. It's cartilage.
Okay.
It's the padding between the knee. When that gets compromised and that gets torn, you've got problems. because, I mean, it's got blood flow in there through that whole process. It gets torn, traumatized. It swells the knee up. It causes discomfort, and it compromises the integrity of the knee.
Okay.
So that needs to be repaired. You know, over the course of time, too, you can, like, abuse it so much that it becomes frayed and stuff like that, and they go in and do a debridement where they go out there and they try to smooth it out. But when you lose cartilage,
this is bad.
Usually it's gone forever. Now, they've got things that they can do now where, you know, they put some injections and stuff like that or try to replicate, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% exactly sure how effective all that stuff is and whether you could be a world-class athlete and still do that. Okay? The stuff that they have now in place, like Chelios gets those gel injections, and that provides the cushioning between his knees so he feels a whole lot better. At least that's what he told me. But, yeah, this is a problem. And this is a problem that could extend itself for an amount of time. Mark Schlereth once had cartilage surgery. Was back in 2 weeks. But his level of pain threshold and what he was doing and the type of surgery it was, you know, was probably something that would allow him to come back, depending on if he could take the pain and allow him to operate at a professional level. Running up and down the basketball court, twisting, turning, the impact that you have repeatedly over and over again. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's going to take a little while.
Up and down, Now, worst case scenario, if they have to do surgery, when you read 4 to 6 weeks, that means Lonzo would still be back at some point
this year. Right, 4 to 6 and probably another 2, you know, recovery time 4 to 6, and then another 2 trying to get back into some sort of shape.
Okay. So,
you can do the UBI, the upper body machine, all you want. I don't know how much that's going to keep your, you know, your cardiovascular health and your legs. Yeah. You got to get back into it.
It's not good news, obviously. It's also not terrible news, I suppose, because even if he were to have surgery, it looks like there's a timeline for Lonzo to still be back and contribute when this team's going to need him come playoff time. But that's the latest. And again, it just I wasn't surprised to see these reports this morning after listening to Billy Donovan last night. It didn't sound good or reassuring. Like, yeah, there's something going on there. This is not just going to be a simple, hey, let's rest for a week or so. You miss a handful of games and we'll be good to go. Like, it wasn't responding to treatment. Now they know why. There's a small, according to reports, a small tear in the left knee in the meniscus for Lonzo Ball. And Woj is saying that they're going to, in the next 24 to 48 hours here, decide if they need to have an arthroscopic procedure performed. And that timeline would be about 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know if he doesn't have that, what it means, what the timeline looks like. As Yurko was explaining, if it kind of heals on its own and some of the other things they can do, you know, what is, does it still mean he misses 4 to 6 weeks? Not sure on all that. We'll probably learn more as the day goes by. 312-332-3776 is the number. Tracy Butler's going to join us in a little bit. She'll give us weekend weather as she always does. We want to hit the four playoff games. The weather in Tampa is probably not. It's Tampa. Lucky sons of, you know what. You know, we don't have to worry about the Tampa Rams game probably. But it sounds like the weather's going to be okay in Kansas City, too. Cold night in Green Bay. We'll see what the forecast is, you know, what Tracy's got in the forecast for how the games might be affected this weekend. She also interviewed on her show. It's an online-only show, Merck?
It is from 7 to 8.
7 to 8. Yeah. Tracy does a show.
It's not just Tracy. It's Terrell's
Terrell
Val,
Brown.
Terrell and Val actually hosted Tracy Does Weather. Roz Does Traffic.
It's a full show.
It's a full show.
The whole shebang.
So they do that online when they go to Good Morning America? Is that what
Correct.
It is?
Yes.
I got you. So you just keep rolling in essence.
Right. Yes. And Tracy took time to interview Merck about his book. Let's listen. First of all, we got to Merck. You got to do a better job with the camera. You know, you're putting a Dutch angle on there. What are you, Orson Welles? Yeah. I mean, what are we doing here?
I didn't realize how it looked. I did say afterwards, I'm like, boy, I could have done better with that.
Merck's looking down into the camera.
I was bad.
It
was.
Boy, I could have done better.
Got to work on you.
Yeah, we'll put that on his mantra. You know,
again, we take an opportunity to buzz balls.
Randy Merck. Boy, I could have done better.
Here's some of Merck. Take a listen.
Now it is time for me to get to talk to, full disclosure, one of my good pals and a guy with some great stories. Randy Merkin, if you're a frequent listener, a P1 at ESPN 1000, you know this guy. He's operations director at
ESPN
1000. And often is the sane one that keeps Carmen and Yurko and Jeff Meller intact. Hey, Mark, good morning to you. It's so awesome to talk to you. And I want to know, why did you write the book?
Tracy, what a pleasure to be joined on the show. Why did I write the book? Well, it was during the pandemic, and I decided to get more active on social media. And I started doing these stories about these guest booking stories that I've done throughout my whole career.
Raise the kids and or write a book.
And Rick Camphor from Eckhart Press Media reached out to me and said, hey, have you ever thought about making this into a book? And Waddle and Sylvie had always told me, Merck, you should do a podcast on your stories. And I reached out to Rick and I said, I have no idea how to write a book, but I'd always wanted to. I said, and he said, here, each story is a chapter. So I did that. And I started writing like 10 stories and I would send them to him and he kept saying great stuff.
More.
It took like a year and a half and it was a great achievement and very happy with the result.
Patting himself on the back was a great achievement.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Can you use adjectives?
So fun. I have to start with one of your interviews. You talked to John McEnroe, and since the Australian Open is going on, tell me a little bit about that story.
Johnny Mac. So I've always wanted to book Johnny Mac, Tracy. Now you're a big tennis person as well. And he was going in the Hall of Fame. So I found the hotel. Back in the day, Tracy, that's how you book guests, is you called hotels.
For all you youngsters.
So I called the hotel he was staying at. His daughter answered. I was like, that's not a good sign. He picked up the phone in typical John McEnroe fashion, was not happy with me. I asked him to come on for 5 minutes to tape an interview. And he said something like, you want me to come on right now with my family here, my brother's family here, and my parents here? And then he gave me the line, you cannot be serious. And I was like, just 5 minutes, John? And he was like, no thanks. And I won't use the words he used. And he hung up the phone. And the host I was with, like, I guess that's a no. So then the next day I called. I was producing the show, and I saw on ESPN News that they had highlights from his Hall of Fame speech. I'm like, you know, what's the worst you can do? Hang up on me again?
Merck does have a go-get attitude.
Back,
I like that.
And his daughter answered again. I'm like, oh, no. And she's like, Dad, it's that radio guy. And I'm like, eesh. And he picks up the phone and he's like, you
great
again.
Description, Mark.
And I'm like, John, it looked like he had a great speech. He's like, what'd I tell you yesterday? And I just paused for a second. I'm like, John, you've got to be sick of your family by now. And he pauses for a second and goes, great call. And he goes, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do a radio interview in the other room. I cannot be bothered for 20 minutes. I said, John, all we need is 10 minutes. And he goes, we'll do 20. And I'm like, all right, good enough. So we did 20 minutes with John McEnroe. It was great stuff. And as you know, he's a great analyst, so it was a real good insight in tennis.
People, do you see what you can get if you buy this book,
right?
Behind the Glass?
Well, yeah, I never say, you know what? The best thing you got going for you is Never Say Die attitude.
That's the best thing Randy's
That's
got
going.
That's
what you've got going for you. People tell you no. I imagine Beth said no 100 times.
Yeah.
But you stuck with it.
Randy's got a...
you like stuck with it. You wore her down.
Here are the two best things about Randy. He's got a stick-to-itiveness, and he's got a heart of gold. Those are the two best things about Merck.
There you go. You've experienced the heart of gold.
Oh, he's got a heart of gold. I would say my good looks, but...
Well, I would disagree but
okay.
on that one. Did McEnroe deliver the line? Like, does he deliver it knowing people want it? Because, you know, he does the commercials now with Serena, and he goes, I love that. He goes, you cannot be serious when he drops his food over him.
He was legitimately furious.
He might have been furious, but is he delivering the line like because he knows you want to hear it? I mean, he actually said to you, you cannot be serious?
Yes, yeah.
He's got to be doing that at
you
this
think so?
Point. I think so, Merck. I think he does it. And I love it in the commercial when he spills his whole lunch on him and he goes, you cannot be serious.
I mean, I've had people irate at me. He wasn't happy. He was not happy.
He's a salty SOB, and he sure is. Tracy Butler will give us weekend weather when we come back next.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I wonder how long Tracy stayed up preparing for that interview with Merck. Let's find out. She joins us each and every week, Tracy Butler, the outstanding interviewer and meteorologist.
Oh, boy. Award-winning interviewer.
7. Yes. We are, first and foremost, we are sorry about not having to interview Merck, but about your Pittsburgh Steelers. We tried to tell you they're awful and they should not have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But Mike Tomlin is a miracle worker. You know, I will give you that. Your coach is a miracle worker. He's outstanding, but your team is bad, and they should not have been in the playoffs.
I just want to know, and we can talk about this another day, but I want to know what you guys think about them keeping the offensive coordinator, the OC. He's not real popular right now, but I guess that's a subject for another day, because I want to talk about the most impressive thing I saw in sport yesterday.
What was it? Was it was it the goals, or was it something in tennis, or Joel Embiid? What was it?
What It was Randy Merkin on ABC 7.
What did you think of his choice of wardrobe, though? Did you you gotta work with
like
this guy.
He looked like a prisoner. He looked
like one of my favorite sweaters, so be careful.
You got to work with this guy.
You look like a prisoner.
You guys, no. It was, like, inviting. It was comfortable. It was like, hey, guys, come on in and listen to my stories.
You're
and
too kind.
I love the wardrobe. And I am telling you, yesterday, Terrell Brown said to me, he's like, that was such a great interview. I want to get the book. I said, Terrell, I really, there are so many more great stories in there. Yeah. He said,
tell him
you
40
should
bucks.
Have him back.
Tell him 40 bucks.
See
Terrell
back.
Sitting down by the fire reading Randy's book. I want to see it. Tell him if I want photographic proof, he's going to get the book and read it. By the way, Randy should consult with Terrell on how to dress. He knows how to dress.
Oh. He's a sharp-dressed man. Oh. Sharp-dressed young man. You are right about that.
Forget about it. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, so we got weather for the first and foremost. What's going to happen around our parts here? I mean, it looks like we got some cold settling. I saw your graphic, and I think you posted it either last night or this morning. Maybe I was looking at it. Like, we got some cold weather over the next 7 days.
You know what we do? I mean, today is going to be probably the coldest one of them all. Mid-next week, it does look like we get some cold coming back. But this is not record stuff. You know, it gets cold in Chicago. We know that. You know, the all-time record low was actually set on this date today, back in 1985. It was 27 degrees below zero. Mm. And it was just a few years ago, back in 2019, we actually had a couple of back-to-back days at January 30th and 31st of 23 and 21 below zero. So our low this morning was 7. Yes, we had wind chills below zero, and it's certainly serious cold if you have to be out there a while. But we're not setting any records. We're looking at... Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're not seeing any precipitation either, though, right?
Well,
is that
if you're in Valpo and over, you are. Lake effect snow right now in northwest Indiana.
But I mean, you know, in Chicago,
even in your extended, I mean, is there any snow in the forecast, or is it just going to be cold over the next week?
Well, actually, yes, there is. So we'll probably see some flurries here Saturday, maybe a little light dusting Sunday. Okay. There is something we're watching for Monday, which may require a snow shovel or two. Right now, it doesn't look like a big storm, but this is still days out, guys. So we'll definitely be watching for that. And Yerk, this is really kind of the first lake effect impact that, you know, that we've had this winter. We haven't had, had a lot of lake effect incidents over there.
We've got bare grounds in northwest Indiana, really. We had a light dusting the other day.
Yeah.
Put about a half inch on the ground, that was it.
Yeah, we got nothing by us, which is nice.
Nothing, yeah.
Of the four NFL games, we really have to probably talk about Tampa. I mean, you know, it's Tampa Bay, so I'm sure it'll be about 70. The Packer game Saturday night looks like it's going to be cold. I don't think there's going to be a lot of wind and precipitation, and that's what is going to negatively affect offenses more than anything else. Cold, these guys can probably handle, but it's going to be a chilly night in Green Bay Saturday night, right?
Yeah, it sure is. The thing is, all the games look dry. I know Tampa Bay last week had some rain. This week, their kickoff will be about 60 degrees. But in Green Bay, kickoff temperature is going to be about 11, and I think the entire game, they will have wind chills probably between about 0 and 7 below. So not excessively windy, but yeah, definitely a little bit of a chill in the air there.
All dry, you were saying. What about the final game of the weekend is really this is the one I think everybody's most jacked up for. It's Bills and Chiefs. The weather sounds like it's going to actually be pretty pleasant in Kansas City for that game, doesn't it?
You're absolutely right. I mean, kickoff temperature is going to be about 40 degrees there.
Wow.
Again, that looks like a dry game, too. So really quiet weather conditions. And yes, of course, that's a late game, and I'll have to be watching the images behind my eyelids at
yes,
that time.
You will.
So,
yes.
Unfortunately, I'll have to miss that one.
Any weather in Nashville for the first game, Bengals-Titans on Saturday afternoon?
39 degrees at kickoff. Looks
perfect.
Like they'll have some sun there. So, no major storm systems impacting any of these games.
It's good for, good football weather for the weekend. Sounds good. Games won't be negatively affected by awful weather. Tracy, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting
Thank
on our
Trace.
Guy Merck and pimping the book a little bit.
We need some help here. We're falling short of our goal right now.
We got to get him to 1,000, so make sure you keep tweeting about it.
Yeah. Behindtheglassthebook.com.
Thanks, Tracy.
It's going to be a cold weekend ahead to read a good book.
That sounds about right, yes. Stay indoors and read Merck's book. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
You bet, guys. Take
care. See you, Tracy. There's Tracy Butler from ABC 7.
Put a little fire on, get yourself a dram, and read Merck's book this week.
Well, I wish he could have used some adjectives in that book. I think the one thing that's missing is adjectives.
I think you. I mean, I agree with the camera was that was bad on me, but the sweater, I think you're...
If there was a spill, we couldn't use that sweater of yours to pick anything up, okay? There's no absorbency quality whatsoever with that thing. It's like a terry cloth. I've never seen such a thin sweater in my life.
We got to get trunk
Is that called
clothes.
A summer sweater? Like you could wear that in the summer because it's so thin?
We got to get one of these companies like Trunk Club or...
On board with Randy Merkel.
We got to get him on board. We got to say, we need you to...
Can I tell you why?
Retro Randy's entire wardrobe.
And the whole campaign is even we can make Randy look good.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Show him pictures of before and then after. And I'm telling you.
Or maybe I'm starting a new...
Every Tom, Dick, and Harry would be signing up for that thing.
Maybe I'm starting a new clothing line, okay? Maybe I'm the trendsetter here.
I don't know about that. Didn't Andy Cohen have a show like about... Or maybe a couple of them where they, you know, like a wardrobe flip or something. There's a flipping everything. Flipping houses, flipping... They do like a wardrobe flip.
But that's for people who are really in bad shape.
Well, exactly.
Might fit the bill there, Merck.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
We got to get like a flip... We call it flipping Merck. You know?
Yes.
And we do a wardrobe
makeup. Mark.
Come on, there's got to be somebody in the clothing business out there
Merck.
That wants to step up and help.
That's right.
What about our guys?
Consider charity work.
So, come on, somebody who's got a clothing line out there.
Well, I mean, you've heard of Restaurant Impossible. This is Wardrobe Impossible.
Wardrobe Impossible. Flipping Merck. A Bolt Addiction. They're up by you, Merck. I buy hoodies from them.
And Randy, they might be being a little bit harsh on you because you're comfortable in your own skin. You're comfortable in what you like to wear, right? Nobody's
Absolutely.
Saying you're not comfortable that way.
Yeah.
Just there could be a mild upgrade in quality. That's all.
Yeah. I kind of agree.
Right? Mild upgrade in quality. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be a drastic upgrade in quality. A mild upgrade in quality.
Yeah.
You are executive material.
We're going to work on it, Merck.
Don't dress for the job you have. Dress for the job you want.
Yeah, we're going to work
Is
on it.
Is that
this.
What the kids say?
I'm going to make it my mission that we got to find a clothier
find something
that wants
for him.
You know, help Merck out.
Yeah, Hugo Boss.
We make a bunch of videos.
Imagine him and Hugo Boss, huh?
Called Flipping Merck.
They look good. Get that German company on board.
Field
You're
Yates.
You're not against the German company, are you, kid? Hugo Boss is fantastic.
Field Yates will join us when we come back next to preview all four games in the divisional round. We're back in 2 minutes.